Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we're studying the 13th chapter of this book of Mark. You remember this is the brief report of the Olivet Discourse of our Savior, where he prophesies the condition of this age and at the end of the age and his return to the earth. We've been mentioning the fact that it is also found in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. You find some of it in Luke 17, as well as in Luke chapter 21. Of course, you find many passages in the Old Testament because it's dealing with the day of the Lord. Now, last lesson, we were dealing with the Great Tribulation, verses 14 to 23, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which is found in chapter 9, by the way, of Daniel. Take the last three or four verses, that great prophetic utterance of Daniel concerning the last days. And then the warning that they must get out of Israel, flee to the mountains. And then in verse 19, in those days there shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And I pointed out from Joel chapter 2, verses 2 on through, and the book of Matthew chapter 24, where our Lord speaks of it, and Daniel chapter 12, the first verse. These verses all speak of the fact it's a time, there never has been a time like it in the history of men. There never will be a time like it again. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that there are those who believe that this had reference to the first few years of the Christian church, when Jerusalem was destroyed, and you remember, and when in those first two or three centuries of the history of the church, so many hundreds of thousands of Christians were slain for their testimony's sake. I question very much whether the Lord had reference to that, except possibly in a passing way as something that pertains to the whole church age, which has to do with persecution of one sort or another. But in this passage, from verses 14 down through 22, you have this question of affliction. There never has been a time like it. There never will be a time like it again. It's when Antichrist reigns, when his idol is put up in the temple in Jerusalem, for the temple is going to be rebuilt, and he's going to put his idol up there and demand worship above every god. Not only Jehovah, but of every god in the world. He demands worship from all the nations of the earth. When you come to Revelation chapter 13, where you have the worship of the beast, and where men defy the living God by saying, who can make war with the beast? They worship him. It's also the time, by the way, of Jacob's trouble. You remember you find that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30. If I might just suggest this in reading through Jeremiah, you'll notice in Jeremiah 30, he says that the days will come when I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And then he says further on, we have heard the voice of trembling and of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, with a woman in travail, all faces turned into paleness. Alas, alas, for that day is great. It is not, there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. That is, God is going to deliver Israel by his personal appearance. They're going to see the Savior. Zechariah, remember, chapters 12 and 13 and 14, those last three chapters of Zechariah is full of the coming of the Lord. You remember, he's going to say he's going to cut two-thirds of them off, bring one-third through the fire. Tribulation, the great tribulation, when he's going to cut off two-thirds of the people of Israel because of their unbelief and lawlessness, their rebellion against him. He'll bring the one-third through the fire, and he will say, this is my people, and they will say, Jehovah is our God. Here you have the restoration of Israel to their land. And God's going to, first of all, put them through a time of purging. And then he's going to return to to the godly remnant set up his kingdom. I'm just putting in a very, very few words. That's why I believe that we have coming to the end of the age, because here you have for centuries the Jews have been scattered over the face of the earth. The fulfilling of the prophetic word right on down from Deuteronomy on. When there shall be a proverb among men. And at last God's going to regather them. He's going to bring them to his own land. Then he's going to purge them in the tribulation period. And then the godly remnant will receive him. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. There's going to be national repentance. God's going to come and deliver them. So you have it here in Mark 13 from verses 14 down to 23. He gives you some detail there, which I'm not going to go into it. Except those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved because of the judgments of God upon men. As I said a while ago, if you go into the book of Revelation, chapters 4, especially from chapters 5, right on down through chapter 19, you know, even in two of the judgments of God, one half of the population of the world are liquidated. Just think of it. Just think of it. When one thinks of the rapidity of the growth of population on the world today, that we call a population explosion, we're running into the billions, and yet one half of the population of the world is going to be liquidated in some of God's, just two of God's judgments. I tell you, I don't want to be on the earth when the Lord comes in his judgment, do you? The day of the Lord is going to start with the great tribulation period. And thank God he's promised to keep us from that day of trial, those of us who love the Savior. Now, someone's going to ask me the question, well, do you think, Mr. Mitchell, that people will be saved in the tribulation period? Of course I do. In fact, when you come to Revelation chapter 7, there's a great crowd, a great multitude who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes because they've suffered for their testimony's sake. To be a Christian then means to be martyred. In fact, as Mr. Moody used to say, if the preaching of the coming of the Lord causes people to turn to the Savior, what will the actual event be? Now, I'm not going to take up detail or argue concerning this matter except to point it out in this connection that God today is gathering out a people for his name, and you and I can belong to the Church of Jesus Christ by simple faith. To be baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, joined, that speaks of union with him, joined to him in an indissoluble union. And the Lord's going to take us out of the earth. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to be raised, and we together with them caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord in the air, in the heavens. But with Israel, he doesn't do that. He comes back to the earth and delivers them from their enemies. When our Lord came the first time, he came to deliver his people from their sins. When he comes the next time, he's going to deliver them from their enemies. I hope I've made myself clear. There's a terrible time ahead in store for the nations and especially for Israel. As I read here from Jeremiah chapter 30, it's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble. Now, starting in at verse 24, and reading right on down through verse 31, we have the coming of the Lord to the earth. This is his coming to reign. He's going to come after the tribulation of those days. Now let's look at it. Verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. That's never taken place yet. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect. And I breathe this elect, these are his people, Israel, shall gather them from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Angels have a great place in the life of Israel. You remember in Daniel chapter 12, Michael is a special angel, Michael the archangel. As far as I know, there's only one archangel, I don't know. Michael is mentioned as the archangel, and he's the special prince of Israel. And God's going to come, he's going to come and gather together his people. They're going to gather together unto him. Now notice, first of all, in verse 24, in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now here you have signs in the heavens before the Lord comes to the earth. Now you find that, of course, that was prophesied in the book of Joel. You remember we were quoting from Joel the other day concerning the tribulation in verse 2. The day of the Lord starts as a day of judgment. Then you have that in verse 2. It's a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness. There never have been the like. There'll never be any another time like it. And as Daniel 12 says, before there ever was a nation and never will be a nation afterwards. This is the question of the Lord, the day of the Lord starting in tribulation. Now after that is over, there's going to be signs in the heavens just before the Lord comes down to reign as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You remember in the book of Revelation chapter 6, the chief men, the captains, every mighty man, every free man, every bond man shall call for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that cometh in his wrath. From who? From him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall stand? The Lord's going to come with a flaming sword. He's going to come in righteousness. And as the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation says, the hosts of heaven are saying, hallelujah, righteous are thy judgments in the earth. Or in Isaiah 26:9, when thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants thereof learn righteousness. They'll never learn it any other way. They've spurned his grace. They've despised his mercy. They've rejected his love. What is there left for a righteous God to do? But to deal righteously. And when he deals righteously, my friend, you remember, he'll do the right thing. He's going to put down every disobedience and rebellion. And remember, when he comes to the earth, the nations of the earth have been worshipping the Antichrist. They've been worshipping the beast. When he comes, he's going to be preceded by signs in the heavens. Listen to it. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For the day of the word of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Go down to the end of that same chapter, Joel chapter 2. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord shall come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Notice the deliverance is in Jerusalem. Why? Because the Lord is going to come to deliver his people. You see. So you have the same thing in Matthew chapter 24, 29 to 30. You see. The same thing I want you to mark too is going to come in the clouds of heaven in verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Now our Lord here is quoting, of course, from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. The Son of Man is going to come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. By the way, in Mark chapter 14, in verse 62, it's exactly what the Lord Jesus said to the high priest. When the high priest said to Jesus, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? What is Jesus claiming? To be the fulfiller of Daniel chapter 7. You have the same thing in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. Going to come the clouds of heaven. This was his word to confirm his person. The priest said, tell us, I put you under the oath. I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? This is what the high priest said. Jesus said, thou sayest, but not only so. You'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And what did the high priest say? Why, he rent his clothes and said, we don't need anybody. We don't need any witnesses. We've heard him ourselves. He's a blasphemer. What shall we do? They said, kill him. Kill him. He's a blasphemer. Why, he's claiming deity. He's claiming to be the fulfiller of Daniel chapter 7. Do you remember that? Do you remember Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11? Acts chapter 1, Jesus was taken up into heaven. There came two men shining apart who said to the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you have seen taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. How did he go up in the clouds of heaven? How is he going to come back to the earth in the clouds of heaven? You take Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. What does it say? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him. And all the kindred of the earth shall wail, wail, wail because of him. He goes on to say, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the first and the last. I am he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the authority of death and of hell. That's verse 18 of the same chapter, Revelation chapter 1. Mark it, please. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Not rejoice. They're not full of joy. No, no. Oh, no. They call for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lamb. Do you know it's an amazing thing, isn't it? In the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, you've got the character of the judge. And yet 28 times in the book of Revelation, he's called the Lamb of God. When he comes to judge men, they're going to be judged in the presence of the Lamb. They're going to be judged in the presence of the one whom they crucified, Jew and Gentile. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You see, friend, when he comes for the church, we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The world will not know that we're gone until we're gone. They don't see the Lord when he comes for us. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord. Then starts the day of the Lord, the day of the great tribulation. His purpose for the gathering out of a people for his name, the church, is finished. And if you believe Acts chapter 15, after this, after he has finished gathering out a people for his name, he's going to return and restore the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. He's going to restore Israel. But when does he restore Israel? At the end of the tribulation period. That's when the Old Testament saints are raised. That's when the nation is in repentance before God. That's when they're restored. They shall see him whom they pierced. He said, where did you receive these wounds? he shall say, I received them in the house of my friends. That's why I said a while ago in one of these lessons, these preceding lessons, the Lord will not come to the earth until Israel calls for him. Jesus said, I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly, saying, in their affliction, in their tribulation, they will seek me earnestly, saying, when? In the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30. Come, let us return to the Lord. 2 days he's torn us, 2 days he's afflicted us, and the third day we shall stand in his sight. Ah, friend, let me say to you today, the coming of the Lord is very, very, very near. It's high time that we Christians redeem the time, buy up every opportunity of reaching our present generation for Christ. Now, I haven't finished this, but I have to do it in my next lesson. Especially verse 27 on down through verse 31. Where he deals with the regathering of his people to himself. As I said a while ago in Zechariah, they're going to see him whom they pierce when he comes in the clouds of heaven. And they see him, behold, he carries in his hands the mark of the nail prints. They shall say, where did you receive these wounds? He shall say, I received them in the house of my friends. And here you have the repentance of Israel, the regathering of Israel. And then out of Zion shall go forth deliverance. I say to those of us who love the Savior, may God grant that we shall redeem the time. There's not much time left for us. As long as the Lord tarries, there are people to be saved. The Lord has a purpose. He's going to carry out that purpose. But he wants you and me. He wants you and me to redeem that time. Now you walk with the Lord today and enjoy him and thank God you're redeemed. You belong to him. If you're not saved, isn't it wonderful? We're still living in the day of grace where the Lord is still saving sinners and transforming them into his children. And I say to anyone who has never accepted the Savior, you accept him as your Savior today and pass from death to life. And the Lord bless you for his wonderful name's sake.